salicin. Want to say that with me? Salicin. I spent several summers at a dude ranch in Colorado. And every time I was there, I'd usually be in a cabin somewhere, and out the open window, I could hear the soothing yet very powerful sounds of the Middle St. Vrain River outside that window. The sounds of the river really helped me to feel safe and content. You know how when I was growing up, it was the sound of a vaporizer. When I was sick, I would be like, I put the vaporizer in my room because it helps me sleep. This was like that. The sound of a brook, the sound of a river is soothing to me. And it's funny how that same river that made me feel safe and content was one of the sources of the massive flooding in Colorado last fall. That same river was a destructive force. But then it reverted back to that soothing and powerful sounding river that I remember. Those sounds, you know, at the time they didn't remind me of any kind of destruction or power that could hurt. They just helped me to notice life. They cleared my mind a little bit so that I could hear the other things that were going on. They were and they are still a reminder of the awesome power of nature, though. Love the sound of that river. And when I was at the Dude Ranch, it wasn't just the river that I remember. I also spent the better part of every day riding horses. Horseback riders, anyone? Yeah? I rode on mountain trails. I rode on beautiful valleys across many streams and rivers. And sometimes the horses would walk. You know, like a Midwest horseback ride. Walking, walking, walking. But sometimes these horses would really, really run. I mean, the kind of run where you've got one hand on the rein, one hand on your cowboy hat, and you're holding on with dear life for your leg, with your legs, because you're not supposed to grab onto that horn there, because a real rider doesn't do that. You're just flying through that valley. Now, there are few things as exhilarating as doing that. Almost falling off the horse, but not falling off the horse. So that horse lopes fast. See that smooth, breezy valley. And there are also a few things that cause the kind of lingering pain that one feels after an all-day horseback ride. Walking, trotting, running, walking, trotting, running. Oh. Along the trails in this part of Colorado that I was in, you know, a lot of places, that there were aspen trees. And the taste of the aspen leaf is very, very bitter. Although it's very common for a new person in the mountains, riding horses for one of the first times or whatever, probably walking at that point, for someone else to say, hey, you should taste the aspen leaves. They taste like root beer. And then, of course, they take it and go, they do not taste like root beer. No, they don't. And then the joke goes on and on. But that bitter taste in the aspen leaves, it has pain-relieving properties because the leaves contain salicin, that first word. It's a chemical. It's very similar to aspirin. It's not exactly the same, but it's very similar. When you chew on the leaves or suck on the leaves, you get similar pain relief as brought on by aspirin, and it lasts longer. So the aspen tree, among other things, is for the healing of the soreness of horseback riding. Now, the aspen tree isn't the only one whose leaves have medicinal properties. The same salicin that's in the aspen, it's in aspen bark, it's also in willow and poplar bark. Trees with healing properties. In today's Bible reading, there are trees that line along the river of the water of life have leaves that are for the healing of the nations. Whew. That's way better than the healing of horseback riding soreness. Healing of the nations. And I'll bet the leaves of those trees didn't even taste better. And wow. I would love to have those leaves here, outside, everywhere. Can you imagine? Healing of the nations, just boil these leaves in some tea, and everything will feel a lot better, and people will be healed. And the leaves, they're not the only thing that's marvelous about today's Bible reading. There's the river of the water of life. Whew. River of the water of life. You know, all across the globe, water is life, right? I mean, we all need water to survive. We can't survive without water. We can only survive with water a little longer than we could survive without air, but water is necessary. Every living organism needs water. Yet there are 780 million people in the world who don't have access to safe drinking water. 2.5 billion people don't have access to a flushing toilet. And 3.4 million people die each year from the lack of sanitation and hygiene, water-related causes. And almost all of that happens in the developing world. Because if you have no water, no access to clean water, no access to sanitation, life is much harder. No water, no life. We've got water scarcity, water conservation, water access, equality. They're foundational issues of human life and human rights. And if you want to know more about that, about the efforts to improve worldwide access to fresh water and sanitation, an easy place to go is water.org. You can go there. And I can't go through all of that today other than to say that access to clean water and access to sanitation that we take for granted is not so everywhere in the world. It's not so for 2.5 billion people, or at least 780 million people across the globe. But for this moment, I want to stress again how important water is for life. It's foundational today, it was foundational when Revelation was written, and it will continue to be foundational for as long as there is life. We can't get along without it. And in Revelation, there's a description of a river of the water of life. A river that gives life to all, and water that is available to all. Now, is this description literal? Maybe. Is it figurative? Maybe. Does it describe something good and necessary and foundational either way? Yeah, it sure does. Tree leaves that are for the healing of the nations, for every person in every nation, for governments, for folks who have territorial wars, for all. Healing. You know, that means the ability to thrive. Healing means reconciliation. Healing means peace, and not just the absence of violence or the absence of protests due to fear of retaliation, but peace, true peace, shalom, that kind of peace that doesn't have this external force that says, if you don't act peacefully, you're going to be in trouble. It's just that. And then there's a river that is life. Life because the water is life-giving. Life because this water is available not just to a select few, but to all. The healing of the nations. The healing of all. So we've got healing and life. That's the focus of this morning's Bible reading. And that's what we're supposed to be about. And I know things aren't perfect. For many, they are far from perfect. For many more, they are barely passable. For many more, they're horrible, unlivable. And it's not okay that that's a reality. It really isn't. And there are lots of things we can do to change that. I mentioned water.org. There are other water-related agencies throughout the world. And then there's this little nifty contraption. It's called a life straw. Let me tell you something about life straw. The makers of life straw have sent thousands upon thousands, if not more, to areas of the globe where there's no access to safe drinking water. Usually it's been after an earthquake or something where water supplies are cut off. And what this little guide does is it filters out 99.999 something percent of all the little micro things that are bad. Very scientific of me, right? It filters out the like Giardia, protozoa, all kinds of bacteria. It doesn't filter out viruses. It's too small for that, and viruses are so tiny. But it takes water that is otherwise pretty unsafe to drink and makes it safe to drink. You could take this into a trip into the mountains or stuff like that and drink right out of the river. This morning, I tried to find some water in our little stream, and there wasn't any. There wasn't any water there. And I was hoping for rain over the last several days, so there at least be a puddle. Instead, I manufactured some water. I took regular water, and then I took some dirt. And I made a solution of water and dirt. And here's what this thing does. You take it, you put it into the water, let it prime for a little bit. And then it's not easy because there's an awful lot of filtration that goes on through here. But then you drink. And then the water tastes clean. Now I know you're going to say, like, well, yeah, see me in a few hours, you know, if it doesn't. And this is usable. This little job here is usable for 1,000 liters of water. So someone could take and drink using this for, well, I don't know how many gallons that is. Divided by 4, pretty much, 250 gallons of water. The makers of Life Straw, they say that they take a portion of the sales of that and they fund giant versions of that filter, giant vats that are used in places on the globe where there isn't access to clean drinking water. They've been focusing on Kenya, I think, for the most part, but you know, I don't know how much money of it goes. That little job costs $20. People around here, you know, we have jobs and everything. We can afford $20 to get a water filter, and we don't really need it. But if we're going hiking in the mountains or something like that, or, you know, we might need access to water without having to boil it first, and I'm not recommending all of those things because if you can boil water, go right ahead and do that before you drink it. But not everyone does have that. But the makers of that say that the portion of money from every sale that goes to safe drinking water is enough to provide drinking water for one student for an entire school year. I don't know how much that is, but that's pretty significant. Now, if you want to know more about that, Life Straw, that's the name of it. You can Google that or Bing that or whatever it is that you search. Water, necessary for life. Leaves that are for the healing of the nations. You know, we can continue to work to make a difference, for people without access to clean water, to make a difference for people without access to some basic necessities of life, to make a difference for people in our communities, outside our communities. Let's be a part of the river of the water of life. Let's swim in that and let's share it. Because, you know, when we look at it, there is an abundance of water across the globe. Excess, not so much, but there is an abundance of water. And there is enough for all in that river. Amen.